Greet each one in Christ's name this morning. Glad to be with you, worship with you again this morning. So, there's probably a few people here that didn't know me at all. I don't know if you saw who was going to preach or not, but you might have gotten an idea in your head who this is or what it is about, or you talk to someone on the phone, someone you haven't met. Somehow we always picture them in our minds. I don't know how that happens. We have never met them. We get an idea in our head what they look like, how they might act. A while ago I talked to someone on the phone I had never met before. And later on, I stopped in to do work for them, and he's like, "You sounded a whole lot bigger on the phone than you look." Somehow, he had gotten an idea in his head what I look like just by listening. Isn't that what we do with God? We get an idea, we have an idea of God growing up. We have an idea of God, what he looks like, how he acts, and what he is supposed to do. And how we are supposed to respond in relation to that. This morning, that's generally a wrong idea, because we get our ideas from an imperfect world. So I think as growing up, our idea of God is skewed somewhere. Sometimes it's said we get our view of God by how we view our earthly father. Might be, I don't know. You can turn to Matthew 5. I want to read a few verses out of there. Jesus starts out in Matthew 5, what we call the Beatitudes. And goes on down through there. I want to start at verse 33 and read to the end of that chapter. Verse 33, "Again ye have heard that hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. For ye have heard it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whoso shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So as we read down over these verses, Jesus again and again is going back to what they would have heard in growing up, what they would have heard up until now. "Ye have heard that's been said, but I say unto you," he's telling them how God wants them to relate, how God wants them to be. And then he ends these verses that I read by saying, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." We shy away from the word perfect, or at least I do. I'm far from perfect. Every time I think I'm getting closer, something happens and realize I'm not. I like to think of perfect as complete. We have what it takes to be what God wants us to be. We have what it takes to be a child of God. And Jesus is calling us to that. Be perfect. Be complete, even as we know God is perfect. God never sinned. Jesus never sinned. And we are to strive for that. I had to think, do we even know what perfect is? As Jesus was saying here, be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Do we even know what perfect is? We have an idea in our minds. It is a world of no troubles and a world of everything perfect. But do we know what perfect is? When we get to heaven, we will. So we think of this personal Father. If I'm not mistaken, this is the first time in the Bible that God is referred to as our Father. As you think of your personal Heavenly Father, before he would have been referred to as the Father of Israel, as a nation, but we can now come to God as our personal, perfect Father. And this is not at all supposed to be it's not necessarily geared to the fathers, and yet that's the way it comes across. But I was thinking, as fathers this morning, we so often think, as we think of God and being a father, and we think that somehow we are supposed to measure up to a higher standard of living than what the sisters do. And I do not agree with that. God, we are all made in the image of God. Our wives and our daughters can strive to achieve the likeness of God just like we do. And this morning, that is the awesomeness of God. We are all striving for this perfectness. We are all striving to be complete in God. Think back to the thought of our concept of God growing up. I'm sure that all of us as adults, we have a perfect concept of God, right? We know exactly who God is and what he does and how he works in my life. I struggle to find that yet. But this morning I want to put out to you, you know, as we grow up, we put away our childish things. And I think we need to put away our childish ideas of God, and we need to come to God. We need to come into his word and read his word and realize who God is. We must allow God to set this bar of perfectness. And as we do that, it's going to change how we look at life. So this morning, if God is perfect, God is up in heaven, he is complete. He. You all have a perspective of who I am. God doesn't have a perspective. He knows everything. I can't comprehend that, but God is complete. So this morning, I can't question God and what he allows on earth. I can't say, God, what are you doing? We are going to do that. As humans, we have questions for God. I do. I come to God. We wonder why he does things. We say we know he's perfect. We say we know he does it for our good, but we still wonder. We still have questions. Man told me one time that he, when he gets to heaven, there are things he would like to ask God. There are just questions he has. He wants to ask God. And I've done that. I've thought that. And as I was studying this, I was like, you know, I don't think we will have any questions for God when we get to heaven. We will just know. When we get to heaven, we will know. 1 John 3:2. I want to read that. Kind of just jumping in the middle of here, but beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When we get to heaven, we're going to be perfect. We are going to be totally complete to a measure that we don't know right now. So as I think of questioning God, as we go through life, we are going to have questions for God. But I think we have to be careful that we don't put God on trial for what he's doing. Sometimes we can question. When I question someone else, you put them on trial for what they are doing. We have this stack of, you know, we can end up having this stack of questions for God, and now you need to answer for what you are doing. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I want to read verses 10 to 12. First Corinthians 13:10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Again, when we get to heaven, we are going to know. God knows us in and out now. It says, I shall know then, I shall know even as I am known. God wants us to keep working at understanding him. He wants us to keep working at becoming like him in word and deed and action. It's going to be a lifelong endeavor till we meet God. It will never end in this time. Keep striving for doing what God wants us to. But when we get to heaven, I believe it's going to, let's say we see through a glass darkly, but then we're going to see God as he is. God is complete in himself. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I had to think of the song, just the one verse or whatever. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So as we think of our Heavenly Father this morning, I want to look at just a few of the attributes. There's a lot more that we could look at, but I want to think of a few of them. Most of them are ones that we need to strive to be like this morning. First one I have is love. The attribute of God is love. 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8, I want to read. There are a lot of verses we could go to when we think of the love of God, or God being love this morning. 1 John 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. This morning, I'm sure you've heard it before, but God doesn't just love us. He is love himself, love itself. God, it's hard for me to comprehend the love that would pour out from God, because we struggle so much to show love to others. We are so self-centered. We are so much of ourselves. It's hard to pour out a love to others, but we need to do that as we see the love of God to us. We're supposed to be like God and show love to others. The very essence of God is love. 2 Peter 3:9 I wanted to read. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, as we think of that love, it says he's waiting. He hasn't sent Christ back yet. He hasn't destroyed the world because he's wanting everybody to come to him in repentance. And talk about a love. Talk about a love for people that have not loved in return. He hasn't been slack at all in his promises of coming back, but it is because he wants everyone to repent. When I think of love, I have to think of just. Deuteronomy 32, I want to read. Do we think another attribute of God? I think we have to balance love with just. So many people want to talk about the love of God and how much he loves everyone. And it is all very true, but we cannot forget that God is just and he cannot put up with evil. He cannot overlook. Deuteronomy 32, 1-4, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is a rock, his way is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. He is just and right. Psalm 7, verse 11, God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. The verses in Deuteronomy, I like those talking about God judging between right and wrong, God judging between truth and untruth, righteousness and iniquity. And those verses in Psalm I find intriguing. It says, God judgeth the righteous. So if we're righteous, we should have God's blessing, right? But God judges. I see God judging. He either vindicates or punishes the righteous. And if we go to the New Testament and look at God punishing his children, I can't get the words at the moment, but as we follow God, as we are righteous after God, we need to understand that the punishment of God in our lives is for our blessing. I see it doesn't need to be a scary thought, but we are on God's trial every day because we are his children. And just on the other side, the wicked receives God's anger all the time. Third one I have is pure. God is pure. 1 John 3, I think I read this one verse already, but we're going to read it. 1 John 3, 1-3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Purity in this means innocent, modest, perfect, chaste, clean, pure, or blameless. We can be pure this morning, even as God is pure. God cannot look on sin. God cannot, what does it say? He cannot be tempted with sin. And we need to strive for that. We need to, every day, strive after the purity that God, to be like God. I want to read also some verses out of Proverbs 30, 5 and 6. 30, 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. The word pure here means a little more to refine, cast, a founder, goldsmith, melt, pure, purge away. This morning, as we read God's word, it says God's word is pure. God's word is pure because he is pure. And as we read God's word and adhere to it, as we listen to God's word as we read it, it will purify us. We have to allow it. But I just like the idea of God's word being pure. There is nothing, you will not find wrong advice in the Bible. You will not find it leading you astray in the Bible as we read God's word. Fourth one I have is holy. 1 Peter 1. We think of another attribute of God, holy. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Again, being called to a level of holiness because God is holy. So we think of these different attributes. God is not asking us, God is not calling us to anything he isn't himself. Sometimes in life it's easy to know all the answers and how everything should work, but it's harder to put it into practice. But Jesus is our perfect example. Verse 16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's coming out of Leviticus 19, talking, God was telling his people to be holy, pulling out of the Old Testament. The next one I have is, two of them kind of together, is merciful and gracious. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Again, this morning, I always think of mercy and grace going together. God has given us mercy. He has not given us what we deserved. When we are in our sin, even if God was totally, if all God was just, we would be struck down the minute we sinned. But God, in his mercy, gives us another chance. And he gives us grace instead. We have all deserved death because of sin, yet he gives us the gift of salvation. He gives us grace. He gives us what it takes to live above sin. He gives us what it takes to be all these attributes that he is. There's many more we could look at this morning, but it's just a few that I thought of when I thought of a perfect father and how we need to strive to be like him. And again, I guess as we think of a perfect father as God, think of being a father this morning. We must attain, we must we must strive to attain to this perfectness. We must somehow, in our imperfectness, keep striving, keep putting one foot in front of the other in striving to this perfectness. And I think as we take this standard of God that he has set forth, as we think of this bar of perfectness that God sets up for us, our life can exemplify the attributes of God. And this morning, as fathers, as we see our insignificance, as we see our frailty before God or without God, our children can get to see a glimpse of who God is. And as we teach them, as we day after day show our children out of the Bible who God is, we are going to lead them to a personal accountability to God. I think that should be our ultimate goal as we think of relating to other people or we think of relating to God. It has to be a striving to show them who God is. Not who we are, but who God is and what God has done for us this morning. So I trust this morning again that this can be an encouragement to you, that we serve a God that can relate to us. We serve a God that gives us what it takes to be complete. And we serve a God that is just waiting for us to come home to him and live with him forever. Let's kneel for prayer.